Some winners and losers of the primary election were out today waving with their mahalo signs following primary election day. HPR's news director Bill Dorman joins us for a closer look at the primary election results and the races ahead for the general.
Yeah, you know, surprises, a relative thing, I guess, any time, but certainly in politics. And when they develop over time, it's maybe less of a shock. You look at the governor's race, for instance, and that was the numbers in the end, though, when they came out, not as close as some thought that they might be. So the final specific numbers for those keeping score at home, Governor Ige with a margin of 50.2%, 43.4% for Colleen Hanabuse on that. And traditions certainly part of this, as you said, in terms of the sign waving mahalos today. Also, Sunday, of course, the unity breakfast for the Democrats. Wayne Yoshioka pulled the governor's side at the breakfast for a bit of a chat yesterday morning. He started by asking about the role of political action money, not just about the money, but the impact, the tone of the political ads.
Well, I mean, I think that the voters in Hawaii got tired of the negative campaigning. We were committed to telling our story and being positive about the things that we've accomplished, and I think more importantly, our vision for where we wanted to go. And I've always trusted in the people of Hawaii that, especially as it comes to elections, that they'll make the right decision.
Did you send them a message that, you know, you go negative and the voters just sort of turn off?
I mean, I do think, and as you know, there was just so much advertising down the last 2 or 3 weeks in the campaign, and so it does get into overload. I mean, yeah, I received a lot of the mail, you know, a lot of the different commercials running on TV. It does get overwhelming at times, and I just want to thank the people of Hawaii for being patient and working through. You know, voting is a very important function in a democracy. And I'm proud that in Hawaii we were able to get through this election season and really talk about issues that are important to the voters.
Isn't it ironic, though, you are the target of all the attack ads and your running mate now, Josh Green, was had all the positive things about you. Did you talk about that with Josh Green?
I haven't, and you know, we just talked briefly last night, and you know, I'm going to take a couple days off and get recharged, and we'll be coming back and integrating the campaigns, looking for the strengths of both of our campaigns and seeing how we can maximize the assets that we have.
You know, you run best when you think you're behind. Is that going to be the way?
Well, I've always believed that it adds an edge to the campaign to run from behind. It really energizes people, and as you know, we have a strong grassroots network of supporters, and they're excited and looking forward to November. And you know, as soon as we can lay out a plan, I know that we will be successful.
Of course, that unity breakfast bringing all the candidates together, the statewide races, and there were some interesting ones. As it turned out, the lieutenant governor's race, little drama, tightened a bit from the first printout through the evening, but Josh Green winding up with 30.2%, Jill Takuta 27.5%. The CD1, the Congressional District 1, Ed Case 38.7, Doug Chin 24.7, Donna Mercado Kim 17.6, the rest of the field in single digits. So it's interesting the way some of these races broke in the end in terms of numbers and sort of groupings, I guess.
Right, and particularly since some of the polls put, I think, Kim further out ahead of Chin, and he was able to pull out the numbers ahead of her.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, and so now Ed Case, presuming that he, you know, wins in November, heading for a congressional delegation, a Hawaii delegation in D.C., where as sort of a relative moderate compared to the rest of the delegation, you know, there's this continuum with the progressives, and nationally, in terms of the Democratic Party, the progressives on one end, the more of the centrists, you think of the old Democratic Leadership Committee folks on the other end. And it's interesting now, Ed Case sort of moving off to one side. Not that that's going to be a huge factor, but it's going to be one of those interesting things to watch.
Right, and I think folks might recall when he was still at the legislature, and he made a run for Congress, and he, you know, I think was criticized for not waiting his turn.
Exactly. That's the famous phrase, wait your turn.
Right, right. And then he also had a big contingent of unions against him.
Mm-hmm.
So be curious to see how that all plays out.
Yeah, and now it's sort of the political landscape gets wiped a little bit because now everything has to move on back to, you know, thank goodness, the people's business, and now working together in terms of now, you know, yes, Governor Ige is going to be in for another 4 years and it's not going to be changed. And in terms of when the legislature comes back, it's going to be interesting on some of those dynamics as well.
And there are some folks that got the boot at
yes.
the state legislature.
Yes. Yeah. And interestingly enough, you know, you look at some of those races where incumbents lost. State Senate District 12 sticks out. Urban Honolulu, of course, Kaka'ako. Sharon Moriwaki beating Brickwood Galateria. And the margin here really surprised a lot of people, 53.5% to 33.6%. Interesting race.
Right, and I watched her kind of gain traction over at the HCDA meetings, the Hawaii Community Development Authority meetings, with the old Kaka'ako development and how that was progressing. And I think that kind of started out as her base where she got some traction. Because I know, I think there was a contingent that was actually trying to oust Brickwood Galateria for some time, but it looks like they finally got a candidate who did that.
Well, and based on that idea of community involvement as well, it's sort of a theme across a few places. Interesting, other races, neighbor islands, you know, the mayoral races now down to runoffs. And interesting when you look at the role of term limits in these, both on Maui and Kauai, the incumbents were termed out, and Mike Victorine on Maui termed out on county council. Actually, now he's headed for a runoff with Ellie Cochran, and it'll be interesting. Alan Arakawa running for council, and Natalie Kama, he came in second in the primary. So they're going to be facing off in the general election, but that was a surprise to a lot of folks over there. Kauai looked for a while like Derek Kawakami might be heading for an outright win. That you know, if you get 50% plus one, that takes you through. But he and county council veteran Mel Raposo are going to be facing off in November, falling a little short of that 50%. Actually, in the end, just with those final numbers, yeah, 48.2% was what Kauakami wound up with.
So they're going to have to work a little bit harder for a few more months, right?
Well, and it's going to be interesting, you know, in any level of politics, in any area, the difference between the primaries and the general election is, you know, the classic that they say is that in the primaries, you know, you in a presidential sense, you appeal to your loyalists, and then you reach across the aisle and you try to broaden the message for the general election. Some of these runoffs are going to be interesting to see in terms of where the dialogue goes, where the issues are. I think Wayne was saying it's about 85 days or something to the general election. Voter turnout, just one other sort of point to mention. Overall, it's 38.6%, so still below 40%. Optimists would say, oh, but that's better than the record of 2016. It was even worse, 34.8%. But same-day registration, apparently not a huge factor in that, but that's just starting again. We'll see how the mail-in ballots go. Kauai
right.
starts out.
And when I was out at my precinct casting my vote, I always like to check in to see, how are things, any problems? And they said they did have some technical problems with the machinery, but then they were able to get it fixed. But they were happy because where I was, they said that there were more people coming in. So
Downtown, I had more volunteers than voters
really?
When I went to the polls. But over time, and again, those mail-in ballots, starting in 2020, all ballots for Kauai are going to be mail-in. And if things work out, that's the plan.
The pilot, yeah.
2022.
All right. Okay, we'll see what happens during the general.
You bet. It'll be fun.
All right. Thanks a lot, Bill. That was HPR's News Director Bill Dorman with the snapshot of Saturday's primary election.